Take your Bible, please. Turn to Isaiah chapter 3. Isaiah chapter 3, we're going to read verses 4 through 9 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Isaiah chapter 3, verses 4 through 9. While you're turning there, I'm going to read one other verse to you. It's out of the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 22:15 says, "Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him." Now, Isaiah chapter 3, verses 4 through 9, and again, we'll read this passage responsively. "And I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. And the people shall be oppressed, every one by another, and every one by his neighbor. The child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient, and the base against the honorable. When a man shall take hold of his brother of the house of his father, saying, 'Thou hast clothing, be thou our ruler, and let this ruin be under thy hand.' In that day shall he swear, saying, 'I will not be an healer, for in my house is neither bread nor clothing. Make me not a ruler of the people, for Jerusalem is ruined and Judah is fallen, because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord to provoke the eyes of his glory. The show of their countenance doth witness against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom. They hide it not. Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves." And let's pray. Father, again, thank you for what you've done for us. We sure do love you. God, you have been so kind and so merciful to us. Now, God, I pray that you'd help us. May we please you with today's sermon. Lord, I pray that you would use this sinner, this preacher. Would you allow the Holy Spirit of God to work through my mouth and say what you need said today, please. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. I am excited about the sermon this morning. That does not take me long to do. I want to help you today. I have a sermon I'm going to preach today called "Drive the Fool Out of Yourself." Drive the fool out of yourself. Proverbs 22:15 says, and I'll read it to you once again, "Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him." Now, we read in Isaiah chapter 3 a passage of Scripture, and by the way, let me say it this way, and those of you that are regulars here have heard me throw this tirade before. These are God's words, not man's words. God wrote that book, not man. When you read the book of Isaiah, that is not Isaiah talking, that's God talking. Isaiah was the secretary that wrote it down word for word as God gave it, but these aren't the thoughts that God gave Isaiah to put down. These are not letters that Isaiah wrote that God says, "Well, I like that, let's put it in the Bible." These are God's words. They were settled before the world was created. These were forever in heaven. So these are God's words, not man's. And God, in Isaiah chapter 3, I believe, is showing us where America is today. Let me read it to you again. "I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. And the people shall be oppressed, every one by another, and every one by his neighbor. The child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient, and the base against the honorable. When a man shall take hold of his brother of the house of his father, saying, 'Thou hast clothing, be thou our ruler, and let not this ruin be under thy hand.'" Let me explain that to you for a moment. Here, the Bible says that children are the princes who run things. We live in a country where children run adults and not adults running children. We have it backwards, folks. By the way, when adults led children, we didn't need police in the schools. Anybody doing okay? If you're mad at me now, hang on, put your seatbelt on, you're going to kill me in a little while. Our whole society is based on the child. And by the way, I'm for taking care of our children. I am for leading and nurturing our children. But you lead a child, you don't let the child lead you. Everybody doing okay? I was a principal in Christian schools for about, 18, 20 years of my life. I've worked with a lot of children. And, you know, 4 and 5 year olds can get ornery every once in a while. And some of them don't have all the upbringing that others have. And even ones that do have the right upbringing, they're sinners like the rest of us, and they just get ornery, amen? And every once in a while, I'd look at a child. Usually it was a boy. Not always, but usually. And I'd say, son, 4 year olds don't tell 40 year olds what to do. 40 year olds tell 4 year olds what to do. You know, some of you mommies and daddies need to get some of that in you. Quit letting your children tell you what to do. You tell them what to do. Okay, here we go. I'm not against us doing things for our children. I am for teaching and training our children, but may I say this, we're not supposed to let the children run us. I don't ever remember throwing a fit in a store for not getting what I wanted. You say, why? Because I saw it happen one time, and I heard what my dad told me would happen to me if that ever was me. Now, you might say, well, he warped your psyche. He never called it a psyche, but he warped it a lot, let me tell you. And there were threats that I'm 46 years old, my dad is 74, and I still believe to this day, if I did that, he'd whoop the snot out of me. Here the Bible talks about people that would live unneighborly, and you couldn't trust your neighbor. Violence. What happened to being neighbors? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Man, I grew up, I knew my neighbors. I knew several houses down who they were by name, took care of them. I had elderly neighbors that lived on this side of us. Mr. and Mrs. Culp lived over there. Good night. If he were out picking weeds, Dad'd say, hey, Mr. Culp's out on his little cushion. He was an older man and couldn't get up, so he had a little cushion that he'd sit down in the driveway with and pull weeds, and he'd scooch that cushion. And so, because the concrete was too hard on him, he'd say, get out there, boys, help him. Say, did you get paid? Shoot, if I'd accepted a quarter from him, my dad would have skinned me alive. No, we were supposed to go out there because it was a neighbor. That's just the way it was. You knew who your neighbors were. You talked to them, and you became neighborly. Now, if you talk to your neighbors, it's almost like, okay, are they going to rob my house? Y'all know what I'm talking about? All right. Here it talks about the young people who are totally proud against the old people. We live in a generation that does not know how to respect an older generation. Do you know that if someone is older than you, you're supposed to treat them with respect? Now, Brother Hawkins, it's getting harder to find somebody to respect because not many people older than you, but we're getting there, amen? You know, there was a day when young people respected older people. I've joked about this. If I ever got in trouble at school, somehow Dad knew about it before I got home. I'm not sure if the school called home. I'm not sure. But I do know this. If you got whooped at school, you didn't have any defense at home. You got whipped at home, and then they found out why they whipped you. That's just the way it was. I remember getting in trouble with the neighbor kid, and the neighbor's mom swatted me one day. I thought, I'm going to go home and tell my dad. He's going to be upset. He was upset. He was upset enough that he swatted me again. It didn't work out like I thought it was going to work. Say, now what would happen? Okay. The Bible says here in verse number 7, that people would be afraid to lead. We live in a generation of weak leaders. Nobody wants to take leadership. Nobody. Okay, getting quiet in here. Verse number 5. Oh, I love this. It says, and the base against the honorable. Visitors, I'm sorry. I'm throwing a fit this moring, but... I am totally against workers demanding rights from leadership. You know, if you go to work for somebody for $10 an hour, you're not supposed to go out and protest and picket and tell everybody in the country how bad your boss is because he's making more money than you. I never saw a poor person yet that was employing anybody. And nowhere in the Bible nor anywhere in our Constitution does it say everybody has to make the same amount of money. Now, I don't care what your nationality, I don't care what your skin color, I don't care what your intelligence, there are certain things that are available to all Americans that allow us to be equal, but nowhere is economics involved in that. Nowhere. I challenge you to find it anywhere. You know, nobody makes the exact same amount of money. In a society like that, it's called communism, just so you know. Okay? Everybody doing all right? Getting quiet in here. Verse number 7 and verse number 8 talks about you become a leader or you become a role model because of the way you dress. Just look at Hollywood. It dictates everything anymore. Good night, women. If you dress like the Hollywood whores do now, you're in trouble. Say, I don't think you should say that. Okay, don't say it, but I will. I get sick and tired of us looking to Hollywood for how we're supposed to dress. Why don't we look at dress the way God wants us to look at it instead of through sinful eyes, let's look at it through God's eyes. Now, and just so you know, I'm going to get in trouble for saying this one day, and I don't care, but the Bible also talks about that you'll live in a generation where the Sodomites are not hiding anymore. Verse number 9 said, they show of their countenance doth witness against them and declare their sin as Sodom, they hide not. Now, listen to me carefully, and I'll preach here in a moment. The America I grew up in is no longer. When I was a boy, we used to play cowboys and Indians, cops and robbers. We used toy guns. We used ropes and tied each other up. I've tied people to trees. We didn't leave them there too long. And everything else. Now, wait a minute. Listen to this. Now, in Anne Arundel County, Maryland, if you bite a Pop-Tart into the shape of a gun, you can get expelled from school. It's happened 3 times in the state of Maryland in the last 6 months. Now, folks, there's never been a Pop-Tart that killed anybody. It's not going to shoot one of those little sprinkles and hurt anybody. You say, well, but it's teaching violence. Folks, we have lost our sense in America. When I was a boy, we used to play football with no helmets. We used to go downstairs underneath the utility sink in the rag box and pull out every rag we could stuff in our clothing so that when we got hit, it didn't hurt quite as bad. And that was our shoulder pads, our leg pads, our hip pads, and other pads. Amen. If we ever saw anybody wearing a helmet riding a bike, it's because they were playing Evel Knievel and it was an old football helmet they had. If somebody would have ridden a bike with elbow pads and knee pads and a helmet and other pads, we'd have laughed at them. We'd have said, what are you doing? Now you have to have a seatbelt on your bicycle almost. Now, wait a minute. now, you're going to get mad at me for saying this, but we didn't stop playing football because somebody got hurt. If we could get the bleeding stopped and there was no bone stuck through the skin, we kept playing. I've watched guys spit teeth out, put them on the side and say, I'll take them home with me later and keep on playing. You say, you did that? Yeah, guess what? I'm still alive. Now, today, children have been elevated above reality. Listen to that statement. We spend so much time on their future that we have bankrupt now. A child who shares a room almost warrants a visit from DHHR for child abuse. When I was growing up, my brother and I slept in the same bed for I don't know how long. Not only in the same room, the same bed. Everybody doing okay? How many of you know what I'm talking about? Oh, yeah. Some of you old timers. The only sodomite I knew as a child was a guy named Liberace, and no man wanted to be like that, and no boy did either. Old Twinkle Toes himself. That was the only sodomite we knew. You know, if you got called a Liberace, you went out and played football and got bloody just so nobody ever called you that again. And by the way, sodomites have been around for thousands of years, just so you know. It's not a new thing. But even the liberals back then would tell you no two men should get married, no two women should get married. What's happened to America? You see, by the way, back then somebody that smoked pot was called a burnout. Y'all remember what I'm talking about? They would show commercials on television. They'd show an egg. They'd drop an egg into a frying pan. You'd see it. And they'd say, "This is your brain on drugs." That was on television by liberals. They called them burnouts. Now we've had two presidents that smoke pot and sit in the White House and just say that it was a bad habit. I remember when Bill Clinton said, "Well, I didn't inhale. I smoked it, but I didn't inhale." He had to defend himself back in the 90s so he could get reelected. Everybody doing okay? Now we have a president telling his kids just to be careful with it. Where has America gone? The Bible says that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. It doesn't say some children. It says all children. Now listen to this. The Bible says that the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Now listen to this statement. What happens when we do not get the foolishness of our hearts driven out as a child? What happens if we do not accept the correction as a child and keep the foolishness in our hearts? The answer, we must then drive it out ourselves as adults. The title of my sermon today is this: Drive the Fool Out of Yourself. I have here a golf club. That is my driver. Now, I like to golf. Say why? I get what I paid for. I get to see the whole golf course. I don't golf well. I used to golf fairly well, but I don't do it enough. I'll get to golf once or twice a year, maybe. I don't get to golf. When I was in California as an assistant pastor for about a year, year and a half, I golfed every week. I had a man in my Sunday school class that was trying out for the pro tour. I watched the guy shoot in the 60s just about every time I golfed with him. I had never picked up a set of golf clubs in my life, and I go out with a guy shooting 66, 67, 68. That's called stupid. Okay? But he taught me how to golf. I still don't do horrible, but I am not a good golfer. This club in your bag is called a driver. It is the club in your bag that can that's supposed to hit the ball the farthest. It is the club that has the most potential to take the ball, and when you tee up at the beginning of a hole, you pull your driver out to get it as far down the course as you can. God says that we are to drive foolishness from our heart. That does not mean you get behind the wheel of a car and start driving. It literally means to strike and to hit and to get as far away from it as you can. Now, listen to me very carefully. Maybe you as a child never had a parent or a teacher or a leader who helped you get rid of the foolishness in your life. Maybe you as a child or a teenager rebelled against the correction that came to you. But either way, the Bible says that it's bound, entwined, woven, entangled into your heart. Now, listen to me very carefully. That means this: as an adult, you have to drive it out yourself. Now, wait a minute. What is foolishness? There are, in the Bible, different words for the word fool or foolish. One, most popular, that you would think of means somebody that denies there is a God. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. And that is a definition. Just like there are many definitions for the word love. There is a brotherly love. There is an agape love. There is a husband-wife love. There are several different definitions for the word love. There are several definitions and used differently in the scriptures for the word fool. The word foolish means silliness. It means immaturity. It means lacking sense or judgment. In medieval times, you had someone called the joker or a jester, or they also called them a fool. They were there to make you laugh by doing silly, immature things. That is exactly what this term in Proverbs 22, foolishness, silliness, immaturity, lacking sense, lacking judgment, is bound into the heart of a child. And only the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Now, let me say this. America today is foolish. Our world is foolish. It's immature. We live in a welfare state. We live in unrestricted spending by the people and the government. We live in immorality being right and morality being wrong. We have the Hollywood mentality. We have public education that is indoctrinating people with things that we fought against in World War II. America is foolish. Everybody doing okay? Christians today are just as foolish as the world. The average church has brought the devil's methods into the church to call it religion. We bring the devil's music, called rock music, put quote-unquote Christian words to it, and call it Christian rock music. There's no such thing. We are foolish, we are silly, we want to satisfy our flesh and our conscience at the same time. We are bringing liberal, non-biblical methods into the church as ministry and outreach. We want to dress down and reach everybody. We want to come down to where they are instead of bring them up to where God is. Now, today I want to show you how to drive the foolishness out of your life. Folks, look at me. Nobody else can do it for you. If you are probably an older teenager or older, nobody else can do it. You have to do it yourself. You must do it yourself. Those of you that are adults, the things you struggle with today are the same things you struggled with as a child or teenager that you did not fix. Look at your life and tell me I'm wrong. The same things you struggle with today are the same things you struggled with 20 years ago that you did not fix. You have yet to drive the foolishness out of your life. Number one, foolishness is bound in every human heart due to our sinful nature. I won't make you turn there, but I'm going to turn to Romans chapter 6. You don't need to turn there, and if you can't get there in about 5 seconds, don't bother with it because I'm there. Romans 6, verse number 12. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. What then shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Folks, because we are all born sinners, and by the way, we are all born into sin. Every individual is a sinner. Some of you struggle with your younger children. Christian parents, can I tell you something? Your 2 and 3 year old should not embarrass you necessarily. We've all been there. They're acting like lost people act. They're not saved yet. They're going to act like that until they get saved and until they grow in the Lord. That should not shock you. Now, you can use the rod of correction and prevent some of that, but guess what? They're still going to act foolish because they're lost. That's the way life is. Okay? Listen carefully here. You don't teach a child to be foolish. They do it on their own. Do you know you don't have to teach a child to pick their nose? It happens naturally. You don't have to teach them where to put that booger after they got it on their finger. They know right where to put it. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You don't have to teach a child that sucks on his socks not to put them in the electrical socket. They'll do it eventually, and they won't do it a second time. Say, wait a minute. You don't have to teach a child to be foolish. My secretary and Brother Barnes have, he's what, about 14 months old, something like that. He's learning to walk. Now, he stands up real good. His walking's getting there. This week, he decided he was going to try a new trick. He was standing up on, he's got a little chair that's about that tall that he sits in to eat his Cheerios, amen? And he was sitting on his chair, and he decided he was going to stand up in it. And I heard Mrs. Barnes say, don't do that, you're going to tip it over. Don't do that, you're going to tip it over. Now, it's only about that high off the ground, literally, all right? Sure enough, I heard thump. He decided walking over that thing backwards looked cool. You say, what was that? Foolishness. It's bound in the heart of a child. You don't teach them to do that. You teach them not to be foolish. Amen. Say, sometimes they don't listen, so they got to get it through the rod of correction. Amen. Now, wait a minute. We all make nonsensical, immature responses. Hey, husbands and wives, how many times have you caught yourself making stupid decisions? You say, I know better than that, and I still did it anyway. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Foolishness is bound in the heart of every human. Number two, foolishness is knit, woven, or intertwined into our hearts. It's not only in there, but the Bible says that it's bound. It's intertwined. It's woven into our heart. Now, that's not talking about this little 1 pound muscle right here that's hopefully going to keep beating for a while. Amen. The word heart means the seat of your emotions. It is your soul. It is the seat of all your emotions. Now listen to me. It is not your eternity. It is who you are. It is your personality. It is how you respond and feel things. And God says our emotions and our attitudes are what foolishness is bound into. You remember back when you were a teenager and your dad told you to do something and you did something really, really foolish? And you're thinking, I can do this. I can get away with it. And you didn't get away with it? That's called foolishness. Foolishness. Foolishness is bound into our attitude. Have you ever been caught dead to rights and said, no, I didn't do that? You say, yeah, that's lying. No, that's called your foolishness bound into your attitude. Did you ever do something you should not do and then denied it? And they got the proof in front of you and you still denied it? You say, what is that? Foolishness. Foolishness. Maturity stabilizes emotion. Did you hear that? Maturity stabilizes emotions. Ladies, remember what it was like as a teenage girl? You know, I've often said the only thing more difficult than a teenage girl or than a woman is a teenage girl, a woman in training. Man, you're trying to figure out what life is, what life is not. It's up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down. Maturity is supposed to level that out a little bit. I know too many people that have never matured their emotions and they still live on a roller coaster. God bless you. You don't have to live that way. God says that's foolishness. Now, I didn't say you weren't going to have some ups and downs. We all have them. But we don't have to live by our emotions controlling us. That's foolishness. By the way, let me say this. I'll throw this in for free. Amen. Husbands don't need to play daddy to the wife. You married her as a wife. You didn't take her on as a daughter. Quit playing daddy to your wife. I get tired of husbands who treat their wives like daughters. Everybody doing okay?
Yes, sir.
By the way, wives don't need to play mommy to husband. Yeah. Treat him like a husband.
Yes.
I didn't want to marry my mother. I wanted to marry her. Everybody doing okay?
Yep.
Now, I love my mother. Trust me. I talk to my mother every day of my life. I'm 46 years old. I still talk to my mother every day of my life. Say why? Because I don't know how much long I'm going to have her, and I'm going to talk to her every day I can. That's my mama. But I didn't marry my mama. And I'm glad. Say why? Because my dad married her. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun. Okay, boys and girls, listen to preacher for a second. You're not supposed to parent mommy and daddy. You're not supposed to tell mommy and daddy what to do. You're supposed to do what they tell you to do. I grew up in a generation where if an adult told you what to do, you did it and didn't say anything. You just did it. If you said anything, you paid a price. Now you have to list and legally have representation of why you asked a child to do something. Everybody doing okay? Children, you have no right to demand your parents do anything. I was so worried this week. There was some twit in another state, some teenage girl wanted to sue her parents because she didn't get what she wanted as a teenager, and she wanted compensation. I was worried some judge was going to hear it. He said, "You're stupid. Get out of court. It's thrown out of court." Thank God for a judge with some sense. Say, "Well, children have rights too." Yeah, my dad said I did too. You have the right to obey. You have the right to remain silent.
Right.
My dad's philosophy of parenting is real easy. You spend the first 2 years teaching them to walk and talk, and the next 16 telling them to sit down and shut up. He's got it down, amen? There's a lot of truth to that. Now, wait a minute. So, number one, foolishness is in the heart, or is in every human heart due to our sin nature. Number two, foolishness is knit, woven, or intertwined into every heart. Number three, correction is the only tool that can drive out or sift out the foolishness. God said foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of reproof or correction shall drive it far from him. In the late 1800s, a man named Eli Whitney invented something called the cotton gin. The cotton gin was a revolutionary machine to take the raw cotton ball, and it used to be that slaves and people had to pick the seeds and the husk out of the cotton. And a team of two people could handle about 10 pounds of cotton a day. Now, 10 pounds of cotton is a lot of cotton, just so you know. You know, you say, "Well, 10 pounds of cotton." Yeah, find out how many bags of cotton balls you need to buy to get 10 pounds of them. Okay? We're talking cases and cases and cases and cases of them. Okay? But the cotton gin, one person feeding the cotton gin, you would put it in and you would turn the handle on that machine and it would take those fibers, break them apart. The hull in the seed would drop below the screen, and the cotton would then pass through and be free from all those imperfections. You could do over 100 pounds by yourself per day with the cotton gin. That's a lot of work. What happened? Those little, I don't know if you've ever seen a cotton seed, but it is a very, very tiny seed. It's about the size of a magnolia seed. Just real little, about smaller than a BB. Inside a big thing, and there's several of them intertwined in there, and it's real hard to break all that cotton apart and get all those things out of there. So he devised a way to break up those fibers and allow those seeds to drop out. Can I tell you something? That's exactly what we are to do with correction. We are to break up that foolishness and let it drop out of our lives so that we can live by correction. Now, listen very carefully. Education is only good if it corrects. Did you hear that? Let me say that statement again. Education is only good if it corrects. If you look at the base word of the word educate, it has the connotation of the word correction and punishment. When we took the punishment and the correction out of our school system, we had to start dumbing down our school system. Everybody doing okay? I know enough about education to know what I'm talking about. When we took the authority out of the classroom and away from the teacher, away from the school, away from the parent, we now have to change the standardized testing throughout America to dumb it down so that we don't appear as stupid as we are. 40% of all public education students do not graduate. That's the national average. 4 out of 10 will not finish school. It's amazing to me how many can graduate from high school and can't read or write. Well, when I was in first grade, if you couldn't read, you couldn't go on. Now, if you were growing a beard in first grade, you were still sitting there. See, education without correction leads to anarchy. 1960s. And by the way, America's educational system is about to be overthrown by the students. Boy, that's a good statement. I got to hurry up here. Number four, foolishness left in the heart. Listen to this. Foolishness left in the heart overthrows your life. Proverbs chapter 19. I'll turn there. Let me read a verse to you. Proverbs chapter 19. Verse number 3, the Bible says, "The foolishness of man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord." That word pervert means overthrow. The foolishness of man overthrows his way or perverteth his way. The word pervert or overthrow means turn upside down, defeat, conquer, ruin, or demolish. Have you ever talked to the average high school senior? What you going to do with your life? I don't know. Going to go to college? What for? I don't know. So I can go get a job at Jiffy Lube or Dairy Queen and make ice cream cones? I hate to tell you, but not every child's supposed to go to college. Everybody doing okay? There's a lot of people in this room, you never went to college, and you have more sense than people that did go to college. I'm not against going to college. I went to college. I've got 2 college degrees. I've taught in college. Believe me, I'm for education. But I also know that not everybody needs a college education. I do believe everybody ought to keep learning. Day you quit learning is day you quit living. There are things you battle now that you did not conquer as a child, and it's demolished your life. Some of you live with the scars of childhood and cannot drive it out of your life. Let me show you what I mean. Some of you acquired bad eating habits as a child and have carried them through all the way to adulthood. Some of you acquired bad habits as a child or as a teenager and have carried them into adult life, i.e., smoking, drinking alcohol, chewing tobacco, whatever. Lying. You know, there are people in this room, you started lying, nobody ever corrected it, and you are professional liars. You even lie to yourself about lying. Everybody doing okay? Man, I'm having fun up here. Oh, number 5, I got to hurry. Foolishness, not driven out of the heart, comes out of our mouth as a rod of pride. Proverbs chapter 14. Oh, my soul, this ought to convict you. Say, what happens to that foolishness that's in our heart as a child that does not get driven out? I'll tell you, Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 3. In the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride. Ooh, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them. God says, if you do not have the foolishness driven out of your heart, as a child, as an adult, it comes out of your mouth as pride. Do we not live in a proud generation? I'm proud of how many women I've been with. Me too. I've been with one. I'm proud of that. 25 years this June 24th. We've been married. Can I tell you something? I'm not proud about my sin. But the Bible says, what you argue about now is what you did not correct as a child. Do you ever wonder why you argue with your wife or why you argue with your husband the way you do? Because it's what you did not fix when you were a child. Everybody doing okay? Man, I'm having fun. Y'all are looking like, hang in there. What you defend yourself with now that is still not right is what you did not correct as a child. Some of you grew up, and I'm going to make a statement here. Some of you grew up in bad doctrine in churches. And it's hard sometimes to change, to accept the Bible at face value because you were taught something wrong as a child. Mrs. Lowther was telling me she won a Catholic man to the Lord yesterday. He said, you know, I'm just sick and tired of religion. Keeps changing, and it keeps telling me I got to do this, and I got to do this, and I got to do that. One of the wisest things I've heard about soul winning, she told me, she said, I looked at him and said, I agree with you. That's what religion is. But God already did it for you. That's the difference between Christianity and religion. Religion is you got to do it. Christianity is he already did it. You accept it. He said, now that makes sense. I want that, and got saved. Wow. That's big stuff. That's wisdom. Say, what is that? That's called taking all that bad doctrine and not defending it, but letting the word of God and pure doctrine filter our life. Things you struggle with as a Christian now that if you grew up in a wrong doctrine church, guess what? You're still struggling with till you allow the word of God to correct it in your life. I'm talking about your attitude. Do you know that some of you wives catch yourself in an attitude with your husband that you gave your dad or your mom as a teenager? Everybody doing okay? Okay. Do you know that? Okay, I'll use the ridiculous to illustrate the obvious. Did you ever catch yourself as a parent to your child with a bad attitude? I know you didn't, but I have. You know, you got two boys and they're fighting with each other. So what's the first thing you do? Will you two quit fighting with each other? I am so sick and tired of you arguing and fussing. And you're screaming at the top of your lungs. Where do you think they learned it? Now, I realize there comes a point in time where you got to play referee and, you know, break it up here. But most of the time, they learn their bad attitude from us. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Boy, I'm having a good time up here. I feel like I'm on an island all by myself. Proverbs 13:10, and I'm going to read two verses to you. This one's going to hurt, okay? I'm warning you. Only by pride cometh contention. Anytime there is contention, it's due to pride. When there is conflict, contention. Hey, do you know why you get so mad at your boss? Because you're proud. You won't listen to your boss because you know you're right and he's wrong. Guess what? Even if that's true, you're supposed to obey your boss and do it the other way. He's the one that swings for it, not you. Only by pride cometh contention. The Bible also says in Proverbs chapter 28, verse number 25, listen to this. He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife. But he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. Some of us have the fat part down, but not the other. He that stirreth up strife. That means you go around to the people you work with to tell them how stupid your boss is. That's called pride, and it's wrong, and it's foolishness. If you disagree with the boss, nobody else ought to know. Children, if you don't agree with your parents, don't go to your brother or your sister and try to get them to go against your parents too. That's evil. That's wrong. Most of you as husbands and wives argue about the same things that you argued with your parent as a child. Whew. Number six, and I'm done, and you're glad. He said, what are you doing preaching a Sunday night sermon on Sunday morning? Fooled you. Number six, we are foolish with time now because we did not fix our time schedules as children.
Yes, sir.
Do you know that some of you struggle with being on time because you never had it corrected as a child?
Yep.
First thing I did when I got to my office this morning after I got the lights on was fix the clock in my office. And then I fixed the clock in the nursery. And then I got busy doing other things and Sunday school was getting ready to start. And I looked up and said, uh-oh, I didn't fix that clock. I walked over to Brother Jeremiah and I said, Doc, I think this is important for everybody else because I look at a clock. Shoot, if that thing didn't get changed, we got another hour to go. I said, you all want to change that clock. Say, why? Because I believe in being timely. I believe good character says you're on time to everything. That means you show up to work on time. It means you show up to appointments on time. That means if you say you're going to be somewhere, you're there on time. And by the way, on time is not 10 minutes late. I believe if you've got a duty, you show up on time. I just believe in that. I believe if you tell your wife you're going to be home at 5 o'clock, you're going to be home at 5 o'clock. And if you're going to be late, you call her and tell her, look, I'm on my way. I got stuck in a traffic jam. Not around here. But I got stuck in traffic and I'm going to be late. You at least let somebody know you'll be late. Everybody doing okay? That's the way we used to operate. Some of you procrastinate and do everything at the last second. I just perform better under pressure. That's because you have to perform because you don't have the character to perform without the pressure. You never had that foolishness driven out of your life. By the way, that's why some of you as adults play more video games than your kids do. Some of you men play video games rather than spending time with your wives. Or you play on the computer and use your social networking time rather than networking with your own family.
Amen.
That's another sermon. Hang on.
Yes, sir.
But I am sick and tired of a generation to where you can't live without your phone or your Facebook or something else. Throw the stupid box out the door, smash your phone, and get to know your family. Everybody doing okay? Everybody in the world doesn't need to know what's going on in your life every second of the day. Okay, number seven, and I'm done. What's the answer, Brother Bush? Very simple. You must decide now to correct yourself. You must decide now to correct yourself. There's people in this room, you'll get mad at me for preaching what I preach today. And you'll continue doing what you're doing because you will not correct yourself. You won't allow the truth of the Word of God to change your life. You'll continue on with your bad, foolish ways. Well, I'm not hurting anybody. It's still foolishness. It doesn't say that foolishness hurts everybody. But you're hurting more people than you know by living in your foolishness. Boy, that's a good statement. By the way, that's why coming to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night is important. You get the Word of God and the truth of the Word of God to beat the tar out of you and correct you with the driver, amen? That's what it's all about. That's why Sunday school is important. That's why reading your Bible is important. Do you know there's things in that book I hate to read? Say why? Because it convicts my heart because I'm a wicked, filthy sinner just like you are. But I live in that book so that it corrects me so that I can help more people. Say, man, you're really tromping on my toes, preacher. What do you think it's like in my office when God's tramping on me? It's no easier on me. By the way, some of you need to humble out and seek counsel rather than floundering in your foolishness. Some people think they've got the answer to everything and you need the advice of the man of God who walks with God to get the answers from God to help you not be so foolish. Boy, that's a good statement. I'm done. The most foolish thing you can do is reject God. Most foolish thing you can do is walk out those doors and reject God and reject God's will for your life. That's the most foolish thing you can do. Well, I know what God wants me. Oh, wait a minute, be careful. Does it line up with that book? Can I tell you how you can know what the will of God is? If it's in perfect line with that book, it is. God will never direct you outside the boundaries of that book right there. If he does, he's unjust and not a God of his word, and he would be a sinner like you and me. He will not direct you against that book right there. I always tell people, where is it in Scripture? Let me help you find it in Scripture. The where isn't as important as the what. I have so many people so concerned. Where should I be? I wonder if God wants this. I wonder if God wants that. Should I be here? Should I be there? You just do the what. God will show you the where. You can't do right in the wrong place. But you can do wrong in the right place. Everybody doing okay? The where isn't as important as the what. Do you know that you can't win the wrong person to Christ? You know that you can't read the Bible at a wrong time? Now, I don't think it's wise to do it while you're driving. But do you realize that you can't do wrong in the wrong place, but you can do, or you can't do right in the wrong place, but you can do wrong in the right place? I'm not sure if I said it right, but I know what I'm thinking. Folks, foolishness is bound in the heart of the child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Drive it far from him. And if you don't have it driven out as a child, guess what? You have to do it on your own as an adult. And that's not fun. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. I wonder who would say, and you'd be honest and say, Brother Bush, if I died today, I know 100% sure. I know for sure I'd go to heaven if I died. I'm not ashamed of that. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Thank you for your honesty. I'll not embarrass you. But I'm sure in a crowd this size, somebody does not know that. I'm not asking for some religious experience. I'm not asking for some kind of show. But who would say, Brother Bush, if I die today, I'm not 100% sure I'd go to heaven. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. Somebody else? All right. In a moment, if you're not sure that you're going to heaven someday, if you step just out into the aisle and down front, we'll have a man talk to a man or a lady talk to a lady. In a matter of just moments, you can know for sure you're going to heaven. It has nothing to do with joining this church. It has nothing to do with being baptized. Not something you do, it's something you receive. It's by receiving salvation. Who'd say, Brother Bush, there are some things in my life that have not been driven out, and God has convicted my heart and my life today. Would you raise your hands? Oh, my soul, my soul, my soul. Scores and scores and scores of hands.